Dream big for what we can do here. Let's not be small thinkers. Let's take what we have, let's use it to our advantage, let's come together as a group, and let's go do it together.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of the All Den Podcast. I am Dan Scott, the voice of the Paladins. Bob Ritchie, the head coach, will be here with us in just a moment. As we inch closer to the beginning of the 2021-22 college basketball season, just a handful of days away, relatively speaking, the November 9th opener against North Greenville at Timmons Arena, right around the corner. We're going to talk about that, about preparation, and so much more with Coach Ritchie here in just a moment. I just want to remind you the podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Shortfields in downtown Travelers Rest. Shortfields.com is the website. You can see the menu, the operating hours there. We thank them for their support. And as always, want to remind you that you can send us any questions, comments, topic suggestions, anything for this podcast by emailing them to me, dan.scott@furman.edu, dan.scott@furman.edu. Again, this is the All Den Podcast, and head coach Bob Ritchie is with us now. Been about a month since we last were able to visit, and practice has officially gotten underway. I think you told me before we started recording, and we're doing this on Wednesday the 13th, you've got, what, 9 out of 21 practices down as we speak right now, right?
Yeah, we're 9 down, and you know, it's going well. We guys are working pretty hard, and we've had one, you know, main scrimmage on practice 8 where we brought in refs and we're able to, you know, simulate some game activity, which was good for us. And you know, basically we're able to get 30 minutes of live play in, and you know, did 4 groupings so we get some different pictures and some different looks. But that was really good. That was Friday, and then we always traditionally give these guys a 75% of their fall break. We let them go Friday, and then they're off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then we get back to practice Tuesday, which was last night. And so we had practice 9, and you know, we're able to really meet as a staff this weekend and come through with a few decisions. And you know, at this point, there's, as we've discussed, there's more players than we've ever had. I really believe that there's, even with more players, there's also more options than we've ever had. And so, you know, we've got a tough job in terms of just really being able to make some clean, sound decisions, but then also manage expectation and really just pull the team chemistry together through some of the decisions as we get clarity on what this is going to look like. So, you know, we're able to have a good team meeting yesterday. We're able to kind of give the thoughts on where we are right now. And, you know, as we continue to bring this thing into focus, but there'll be nothing more important than our cohesion and our chemistry and our connectedness as we continue to move forward.
Will some of those decisions about playing time, rotation, number of guys, will some of those drift into the non-conference portion of the season and try to be meted out by the time conference play begins, or are you going to try to get that all worked out before November 9th?
We're going to try our best to get it worked out before November 9th. And you know, there might be some adjustments, you know, depending on the ebbs and flows of the season. And, you know, with us having 5 new players, 4 being freshmen, you've got the freshman wall at some point that you're going to deal with certain guys. And, you know, we're going to try to, you know, answer your question a little bit yes and no. I'd love to have it worked out. I'd love to pick, you know, the 9 or 10 guys that are going to play and stay with it all year. I think last year, one of the mistakes that I would carry is just not being able to really clearly define what the bench looked like, because I was constantly searching for a better answer. I was looking for a best option, and you know, then we couldn't quite get best option, so then we'd try another person. And I felt like reviewing the season, there was a little bit too much musical chairs with the bench trying to get to perfect. That, you know, this year I would like to have a little bit more of an approach of, let's make a selection. And let's give that selection time, and let's make sure that we don't make another decision, you know, in the heat of the moment, and something that just really hadn't had time to build confidence and build clarity in the role that player has. And and that's easier said than done. It's a lot easier to sit here right now, but when you're trying to win games and you're trying to get a team to execute at their highest level possible, you know, if a guy's not performing at the level he needs to, you are going to look for another option. Mm-hmm. That's what competition is. But I think there's going to be a fine balance this year of being able to continue to keep competition open, encouraging guys to get better. But then can we also bring a little bit of cohesion and clarity to what the rotation will look like and try to stabilize as we go through the year?
As you were talking, a phrase kept coming to my mind from one of my former pastors, easy preaching, hard living, and the fact that you go in with that plan, but at the same time, you have to be willing to adjust the plan based on circumstances, whether it's injury or performance or whatever. So it is a fine line, a balancing act you have to walk.
Yeah, in our world, you would say strategy is easy, execution is hard. Same thing, right?
Right?
And it's why there's so many armchair quarterbacks right now on Saturdays, because strategy is easy. Okay,
yeah.
Anybody can see the strategy of saying, hey, we want to play these many guys. We should run the ball here. We should pass. Why are we not doing this? This coach doesn't even. Well, to get a team to actually execute and to get a team to actually go do what they're supposed to do, and really to do it with the connectedness and to do it with the effort necessary, to do it with the clarity necessary, that's coaching, and that's the hard part in this, and that's the difference of, you know, really, you know, in my opinion, all coaches can sit around and do strategy. I think, you know, in terms of, hey, this is how a lot of the schemes in some ways are similar. Some guys have different schemes than others, but the execution is really hard, and so we've got to continue to get where we need to be there. I think, you know, Jalen Slauson, I've talked about him a few times. He's had a really, really good offseason, and you know, really proud of his development and what he's been able to do. I think that this is going to be a breakout year for him, going from somebody that's been a starter to going to somebody that can be, you know, one of the premier players in the league. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that emerge. I've got full confidence. I've got full faith that he's going to be able to do that. And, you know, it's one of those things, you see it in the summer and you're like, okay, this is summertime. And then you see it in September and you're like, okay, these are 1 hour team workouts. But now we've been into, you know, 9 practices, and he's still maintaining it and, you know, continuing to find ways to get better. Alex Hunter, 5th year guy, you know, I've been really pleased what he's doing, working really, really hard, just trustworthy, dependable, really going to make sure he anchors a point of our defense. And I've been shooting the cover off the ball. So that's always good to see. And then, you know, it's also, you know, obviously Mike Bothwell, all-conference guy, really our only returning all-conference player. And, you know, he didn't finish the year shooting the ball like he wanted to, but he's been putting some time into his mechanics and really, you know, making sure that his footwork's correct and really trying to get more energy in his shot from the base and letting the top of his shot, you know, be a little bit easier and smoother in motion. And but we know how talented he is. So those three, they're gonna, you know, they're continuing to show that they're really good players. And you know, then I'll tell you the next one really for us so far in 9 practices have been the graduate transfer Conley Garrison. He's been I wouldn't say a pleasant surprise, because we knew he was really good when we signed him, but you know, he got married this summer and then he had a situation that he was out for a little bit. And so there was a lot of, you know, stop and start with him. And now he's been able to it's been, you know, in most of practices, and we've been able to really get a clear view of what he's able to do. And, you know, he's going to be very, very good for us. And, you know, I've told a couple people it's a little bit like a Rafferty on the perimeter, in that he's always in 2 places at once. He's getting his hands on all kind of balls. He always does the right thing. He anticipates great. And he just plays the game the right way. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's got a beautiful stroke, which, you know, I'm a little bit biased to. And so I think those 4 are really emerging right now from the pack, as you would expect. And then, you know, we got a lot of people that are competing for those next spots. And Garrett Heen has his best practice of the fall last night, which was good to see. I think he's definitely, with the experience that he was able to get last year, he's somebody that should continue to carve out a role. Just got to continue to find consistency. Jalen Pugh's been somebody I've been pleased with. He's kind of settled in a little bit. You know, he's bringing some experience. He's bringing his energy and his mentality has been refreshing. Just looks like he's having fun out there competing, and you know, so he's been good. You know, and then you know, you get into the new guys. I mean, it's the 4 freshmen. You know, we've had a couple guys been banged up a little bit. Johnny Lawrence has been banged up. We'll get him back soon. Marcus was out for a little bit, but now he's back and had a really good night of practice last night. Joe Anderson had a great offseason, and he's going to compete for a major role in this team for sure. really, to be honest with you, Joe and Alex have been both, you know, playing as starters could. But just with Alex being the old guy, you know, I think could be we're going to play those two together a decent amount. But, you know, in terms of how we start, it's we probably won't start double point guard. But Joe's I've been really pleased with his progress. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to be happy with. I think consistency is something that we got to continue to work on. Just we got to continue to find consistency in what the day-to-day approach is with some of these guys. And, you know, it's the analytics are interesting, you know, and we're always going to have kind of machine and man and, you know, watch the film, look at the numbers and really try to get to a good calculated decision. But, you know, some of these guys can really, you know, based on the numbers, can spit out a top 3 day and then the next day can spit out a bottom 3 day. And, you know, those guys are going to, you know, that category is going to struggle the most. And they're gonna be frustrated because they're gonna say, well, look what I did on this day. You know, it's kind of like the player says, well, I got 12 points on this game. You know, well, what about the games where we didn't play as well, right? And finding the consistency of really just effort. You know, finding the consistency of focus in playing the game how we want to play. But you know, we're pleased. I mean, we really are. We're not. We got a long way to go. No, I mean, no mistake about it. We got a long way to go, but we got plenty of time. And, you know, but just continuing to bring urgency into practice, continuing to try to find ways to get better, really trying to see who can separate from just a care standpoint. Who's going to care the most? Who's going to compete the hardest? Who's going to bring a level of consistency that's going to be necessary to get us where we want to go?
Visiting with Bob Ritchie, this is the All Den Podcast as we continue to aim toward the November 9th season opener here at Timmons Arena against North Greenville University. What's the latest on the facility updates? I know that everybody's raving. I talked to Jackie Carson yesterday, raving about the new office space and how that's going. And the next piece that's underway right now is the locker rooms, right?
Yeah, and you know it's been great. We've had a lot of supporters give private money to really try to get our facilities where they need to be. And you know, we started this process, I would say, nicely, fairly stated in the bottom third. You know, that would be the safe answer.
Well, but when your athletic director agrees with your assessment, you know you're standing on solid ground. And yeah, Jason mentioned that last time I talked to him.
I don't think anybody would disagree with it. I mean, the fan sees Timmons, and obviously we know the issues with that. But, you know, getting into the bones of the facility, the bones of the facility are good. It's just laid out poorly and just needing updating. So, you know, our working space, we were in a combined suite, you know, it was us and the women's program together. And, you know, we could hear their offices, they could hear our offices. And when you brought a recruit in, we didn't have any type of intimate space. You know, it was just coming into a open suite. And, you know, so we were able to divide that out and then build, you know, basically build out a lobby that you walk into now. And really came out in a first-class manner. And fortunately, you know, some key supporters really stepped up to allow us to be able to do this at a level that's necessary to really have first-class facilities. And, you know, you got to, in this day and age, I mean, people are still the most important thing. You got to have your people right. Your processes, I believe, are your second most important thing. And your processes are going to determine your result. You got to make sure those are right. But then your physical structures are important. And you got to make sure that your physical structures are putting you in a competitive situation to be elite. And, you know, because really as a recruit's going to go on campus and, you know, you can have the fan that says, well, if they're basing this thing on facilities, we shouldn't want them. Well, the player and the recruit's saying, well, if they're committed, they're going to have the facilities. And so what they're doing is they're measuring internally what they think the commitment level of the institution is based on the physical structure. And so you've got to show progress there. You've just got to show movement. You got to show a desire to get better there that you can really go out and say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And you can't have top three wishes with bottom third facilities. It just there's nowhere in athletics that's going to work. And so we're pleased with the progress. You know, it's just the beginning. It's just the start. And, you know, so after this, we'll have a great office structure. We'll have a beautiful locker room that's going to be first class in every manner. And then we got to hope that we can continue to just move right into the facility itself and really create a space that can be, you know, top notch at this level.
You know, it's interesting because this is the 40th anniversary of Paladin Stadium. You know, we're sitting here in my office, which is doubles as the radio booth for football. And when this facility opened in 1981, it was far and away the best in the Southern Conference. Well, by the time the 2013 upgrade came along, the football facility here had fallen so far behind just about everybody else in the league. You can only rest on your laurels for so long, regardless of what level you're at in the NCAA, whether you're at FBS, FCS, Division I, II, III. The challenge when it comes to recruiting is real, and if you don't keep up or if you don't show that separation like you're talking about here, recruits notice. And it's not necessarily, in my view, you can tell me if I'm wrong, they're not looking at the place where they can come and they can get the most or live most in the lap of luxury, but it's looking at commitment level.
It's looking at commitment level, and then it's just taking a bullet from the enemy. You know, mm-hmm. like I mean, people, as much as we don't like to admit it, people negative recruit, mm-hmm. and that's what staffs do. And, you know, one of the first things they're going to point to when they're recruiting against us is our facility. And, you know, what we'll quickly go to is the results in that facility, which do matter. You know, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, we've only lost one game in Timmins the last 2 years, I believe. And so we'll quickly go to that stat and just show the environment, the attendance percentage, you know, how we've been able to get more fans in the building, how we've increased student turnout. And there's a lot of positives where you can get around it, and it's why we've been able to recruit the way we have through it. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I think now as we move forward and we're showing where we want to go and we want to be at the top, then we've got to be able to match that. And so, you know, I've been excited just being in the new office space. It's helped our staff really, you know, have a better functionality. It's helped our players. It's helped us to serve our players better. And, you know, it's they're going to finish out the film room and, you know, they're going to finish out the locker room. And so hopefully, you know, by, you know, early December, we're going to have all this completed. And, you know, it's really going to be a huge upgrade for us.
What when the season gets underway and you don't have access to the locker room, what will you do instead of going into your normal locker room?
So we're going to set up a game day locker room in the Thirsty Paladin area. Mm-hmm. And they're working on some hospitality area that I think is going to be an improved experience for the fan inside the arena that I think a lot of people are really going to like, which will open up that space in the back for us to, you know, have a game day locker room. And so right now we're using the Thirsty Paladin for our film and team meetings, and you know, us and the women just figure out who's going to be in there, and you know, we schedule that out. Our operations guy does a great job of that. And then you know, on the day-to-day, we're in one of the visitor locker rooms right now. So we're in a pretty small space. But, you know, it's first world problems. You know, it's the price of doing business. And, you know, I've just told the team we'll just have a road game mentality for a little bit. You know, it's you know, have a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude and make the most of what we have. And, you know, nothing's a hindrance. We just got to make sure we have the right view of it and understand it's going to all be worth it. You know, so it's all heading in the right direction right now. You know, we got to hope that, you know, supply chains and things like that continue to, you know, keep things on track. But so far from what they're telling me, everything's on track, and it looks nice in there. I mean, there's dirt everywhere and, you know, stuff's getting knocked out, but you can see all the framing and just the structure of it and just what it's going to be. It's going to be, both programs are going to be really pleased when it's all said and done.
I know you don't have a whole lot of free time now, but if you do catch a moment or two, do you go down and just stand and watch?
You know I do. I think Erin Mays would love to be on here right now. She's kind of overseeing the project, and she knows the end of my day. I love progress. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I'm just wired like that. You know, it's there's a deal where you just, when you see things just moving forward, you know, so I just go in there. I'd go in the offices when they were being built, and I just see, okay, they did this today, they did that today. And, you know, I've been in here 11 years. You know, I've never had a window in an office. You know, we've been in that tight space.
Right.
And so it gives you some excitement. It gives you some adrenaline. And then you can make sure they're not missing some details. So then I'll text Erin Mays at night and tell her, hey, what about this? What about this?
You know, she just loves that, doesn't she?
She loves it. So, but no, she's been great. I tell you what, it's been nice to see, you know, Jason build his team and some of the additions. You know, yeah. she's top shelf. I mean, she's really, really, really good. And the way she's really, you know, joined with us in this project, and, you know, the communication with me and how she's handled all of it. And she's a worker, and she doesn't, no task is too big, no task is too small. She wants it done right. She wants it done first class. And I've really enjoyed teaming up with her in this project.
Well, and just to kind of put in perspective for our fans, that the need for this to happen, Jackie said something to me yesterday. She was our guest on the Inside Furman Athletics video podcast. And we were talking about how this has been for her and her staff, as well as for you guys. And she said, just to kind of put it in perspective, she's been the head coach now. She's in her 12th season. Her desk up until this upgrade has changed, her desk was the same desk that her coach had when she played here. And that's going back into the early, you know, early 2000 or even before that. So that's how long some of this stuff had been there. I thought that was a pretty neat little indication of what, yeah, it was time to make a change.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a big believer in workspace, and I'm a big believer in environment. And you know, I raised some money when I first got the job to change my office out and really do some graphic stuff in our lobby just to make it as best that we could. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, we spend a lot of time in there, and, you know, we're in there. I mean, yesterday, I mean, I was in the facility 13, 14 hours yesterday, and, you know, it's where you're this point in the year. I mean, you're spending a lot of time there. And so you want to make sure the environment's good. You want to make sure that, you know, when people walk in, I think that when people walk in subconsciously, they're always trying to figure out, you know, is this a mediocre place? You know, is this a place that believes in excellence, or is it a place that really is apathetic and really doesn't care? And when they walk into where you live, right, and they see this is where you live, well, I think that speaks, and I think that shows that when we bring a stakeholder in now, you know, hey, this is a high major setup. Yes, that's right, it sure is, and we worked really hard to raise the money and to make sure we got this vision in place, and now when we bring people in, hey, we're committed to excellence, and I think that's the bigger deal, you know, in terms of just showing, again, going back to showing that commitment piece, and not just commitment, but really, really wanting to showcase excellence, and, you know, so it's been more for me a drive on where this can go as opposed to where this has been, mm-hmm. right? It's more so, let's push forward, we're going to live in vision, you know, we're not going to live in circumstance, we're going to live in vision. And now this is the vision, and let's go make it happen. Because a lot of times what happens is, you know, if you look backwards too much, right, like that can pull you down, or it can create a mentality that makes you lose appreciation for what you have in the current. And so we just want to live in vision, and we want to really continue to look out there and, you know, what's next and how do we get there and what do we have to do to be able to get there. And that's what's been exciting to me, to walk in there and have staff meetings in that conference room, and you know, just seeing the staff excited and seeing people excited, it's been fun.
I've heard more than one person in jobs like yours say you either have a vision or a vision problem.
There you go. I mean, it's man, I mean, that's the wildest part about our jobs. I mean, it's you got to constantly just figure out what's most important now, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there's so many areas where you can get tangled up and you can get locked up and you can focus on things that for whatever reason they feel like they matter right now, but they just really don't.
Right.
You know, they just don't. And it's enough to take your energy, it's enough to take your focus, it's enough to take your joy. But at the end of the day, it's not what's wildly important right now. And we just want to live in what's most important. We gotta coach our team, we gotta serve our players, we gotta love them, we gotta continue to build our fan base, we gotta create excitement around our program, we gotta create a vision that this is where this can go and this is how we're gonna get there. And just keep the focus on that. And there's gonna be curveballs, you know, you're gonna get them, and you're gonna have to be able to adapt and to adjust. But we got great jobs, and you know, we get to do something we love to do, and you know, we come to work very, very excited every single day to try to continue to impact these young people, and you know, give this place a program they're excited about.
This is the All-Den Podcast with Head Coach Bob Ritchie. I'm Dan Scott, the voice of the Paladins. A couple of quick things before we wrap it up. On October 23rd, that morning, which is the morning of the homecoming football game in a couple of weeks as we record this against ETSU, you're having a season ticket holder breakfast, and I know there's going to be a couple of events that go along with that.
Yeah, again, our administration is doing a phenomenal job with just managing some of the other areas around the program. And, you know, I think all the fans have seen, you know, what the football experience has been and the boost and the excitement, the energy that's been created around that. And, you know, it's where Jason's just, I mean, it's one of his many gifts, but just, you know, planning events, you know, getting people excited, getting the energy where it needs to be. And so this has all been him and his team and, you know, putting this together. So they're going to come in, I think, October 23rd that morning, and team's going to be available. We're going to make some remarks. I'm going to make a few comments, and then they're going to be able to stay and go to practice. And I think it's for all season ticket holders, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're listening to this and you wanted to be there and you know, you hadn't gotten anything on that, then get your season tickets ordered, and, you know, we'll get you added to the list quickly. But I think it's going to be a fun morning where, you know, you'll have – the game that day here, and you know, you'll have a lot of stuff going on, but they'll get to get a sneak peek at practice. We'll be scrimmaging the next day, and so the structure of our practice won't be there'll still be a lot going on, but it's not going to be like a scrimmage per se.
Right.
It'll be more of a traditional practice, but everybody's excited to come see the freshmen. And you know, our freshmen have a lot of potential. I mean, I'm excited about all four of them, and you know, the five new players with Conley that we've already talked about, and the four freshmen that really, you know, they're all currently, you know, in competition for minutes. Mm-hmm. And you know, you do the quick math that we talked about, right? You're gonna play 9 or 10. We got 14 on scholarship. Manage expectations. Yes, would it clean things up to be at a redshirt 1 or 2, short term and long term of the program? Absolutely. But if they win a job, they win a job. And so, you know, they all have ability to be able to do it. And, you know, but it's freshmen. I mean, it's kind of like the stock market right now, right? It's just, you know, there's some good days and bad days, and just, you know, understanding now, like, just, man, we got to do it again. Oh man, another long day. Or, oh man, they're putting in this. And, you know, just keeping up with the mental and the psychological and the emotional part of it. I'm curious as we continue to go through camp just how that's going to go.
Final thing before we wrap it up. I saw on, I think it was Twitter, either Twitter or Facebook this morning, from your strength and conditioning guru, Matt Aldrin. He is in his home country right now in England running a marathon 1 year from the day that he had open heart surgery to have a defect fixed, whatever the situation was. And I'm thinking to myself, with what he's accomplished and how far he's come back, how can any of your players, if he asked him to do anything, even think about questioning him? This guy had open heart surgery a year ago today, and he's running a marathon. I mean, come on.
I mean, Matt's a special person, and you know, he's kind of, we've worked together now for, you know, 3 years and going on year four together, and you know, he's almost like a brother figure for me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not exactly the same people, but I think we understand each other, and I think we create a pretty good balance for each other. And you know, he's able to provide me truth where I need it, and he's a great watchman of culture, and just you know, just correct processes for me. And you know, he's just special. I mean, nothing he's doing is surprising me. You know, it's one of those things where I think as an outsider, you don't get the opportunity to be around him every day, so you're like, man, this is incredible. But he's just a unique person. And so his twin brother got married and this past weekend, so he was able to go home for that. And you know, we were trying to figure out the schedule and you know, who's gonna fill in for the lifts and things like that. And he looked at me, he's like, hey, you know, coach, it's really not much different than what we did last year when I had to be out for my surgery. He's like, it's the same time. And I was kind of like, man, that's been a year, you know, like, oh wow. And it has, you know, I mean, it's been a year. And so that part of it has been just to see him, you know, really just continue to work through that. And, you know, again, like we were talking about, living on vision or circumstance. I mean, talk about somebody living on vision. Like, hey, I'm going to have this surgery. I'm going to defeat it. I'm going to get through it. And in a year, I'm going to run a marathon. Well, you can't really sit around and say, man, I can't believe I had to go through all this, right? Like, you kind of turn the tide at that point to where, yes, this happened. This is part of my story. But this isn't going to define me. This definitely not going to destroy me. Like, I'm just going to use it to develop me. And, you know, I think that's been neat to watch him do that. And he'll get back here. You know, he doesn't get to see his family a whole lot, so I'm glad he's been able to spend some time with his family. He recently also you know, got engaged to Maria that we're really excited about.
Nice.
So they'll be getting married. And she's a great person as well. So just, you know, adding her to the family is going to be awesome. And so, yeah, couldn't be more pleased, you know. And like all of our staff, Dan, I mean, our staff got pursued this offseason more than any year I've been here. And, you know, we really had to fight to keep our talent. And, you know, really, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about all of our staff. I mean, I think five of the seven, you know, had opportunities. And, you know, so it's been neat to see these guys grow. It's been neat to see them develop. And, you know, he was, you know, in a big opportunity. I mean, a power six situation. And he loves Furman. He loves our vision. He loves what we're doing. And, you know, I wouldn't want any other strength coach in the country. That's for sure. He's, in my eyes, he's the best.
Part two, I guess, because it just popped into my head before we wrap it up. You announced this week promotions for Jeremy and for Daniel. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't let you say a couple of words about that.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I really feel like we have one of the best staffs in the country. And, you know, we've got multiple guys that will have the opportunities to be head coaches on this staff. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, Daniel got pursued, good grief. I mean, maybe the most on our staff in terms of volume of opportunities. I was getting hit left and right about Daniel. And everybody can see it. I mean, he's ready. You know, he carries himself right. He stands for the right things. He's got high level of character. And, you know, he's just sharp. I mean, he's somebody that's grown, and he's just, you know, it's been so fun to just watch his growth and, you know, each year just adding some responsibility to his plate. But then you combine that with his love and affection for Furman, and he bleeds purple. You know, and he wants to get this thing to the top, and he's working every day to do it. So just finding ways to increase his load to make sure when, you know, his number's called that he's ready. And so, you know, that was well deserved. And had opportunities to go be assistants, you know, basically at some Big South schools, you know, and decided to stay. And I think that's a testament to his loyalty to just being able to see everything through and wanting to be here. And then Jeremy, you know, Jeremy's been somebody that's been a great addition to our staff. And, you know, he's really strong in some areas that I need him to be really strong for my personality. And we've been able to complement each other well. It's, you know, it's not the same as I would say, like Nico and I were kind of like this. And I think if Nico was on this, he would agree. Nico and I are not the same person at all. But we understood each other's strengths and we understood each other's weaknesses, and we both kind of played off of them, and a little bit still do this day. You know, we still confide in each other a good bit about a lot of different things, and there was just an understanding of that. And I think I've developed a little bit of the same with Jeremy, in that, you know, he's somebody that he's loyal to me, he's loyal to the program, and really his time management is unbelievable. His work ethic is one of the best I've ever seen. And, you know, he's able to just fill in some gaps for me that when you know, as the good book says, right, you know, if you want to be trusting a lot, you got to be trusting a little first. Mm-hmm. And when I've continually thrown things his way, it's just A-plus work. And so when I give him baseline defense or offense and he calls all our baseline offense, well, that's not a huge task to a lot of people. It's a very important part of the game, but we're top 10 in the country, you know, like. And I didn't have to call a single one of those. I didn't have to install any of it. That's helping the organization. You know, when you give them transition defense and we grade out, you know, one of the top 15 teams in the country in conversion defense, well, that just builds that trust. And so he got pursued. He had a power six opportunity as well that he turned down, which you don't see that a lot at this level take place. And, you know, I think because of that, I felt like we had to reward his loyalty. And, you know, I think it was something that was deserved, but also just his desire to be here. You know, it's the same way we recruit, right? Like when we recruit, we're looking for people that just really, really want to be here, right? Like this is a big vision we have. This isn't a small vision. And so when you have a big vision, then you've got to get people that are just like, they're all into it. And, you know, we've been fortunate there, but look, Jimmy Williams had multiple opportunities. He's a phenomenal coach. There's no doubt about it that he's going to be a head coach. His energy is contagious. He's grown a ton this offseason. Consider him a close friend, but also somebody that's on our staff and does a phenomenal job with player development. He's going to be a head coach for sure. Could have already been one, to be honest with you. Turned an opportunity down at a Division II level school. And Tim Johnson's great. I mean, Tim, as we know, I mean, Tim's worked in great programs at Wofford and here, and he's learned a ton. And, you know, he's played in this league. He knows this league. And, I mean, Tim was in basically a Final Two situation to be a Division One head coach. And so he's right there. And so, you know, his player development is incredible, right? His presence and just, I mean, we just got a big-time staff. We got great people here. And, you know, you wish you could just have three associate head coaches and all of them are going to be head coaches. And, you know, and I keep telling them all, like all your time is going to come and it's unpredictable. And this is nothing in terms of like, you know, I think Daniel Fowler is going to be a head coach. You know, I really do. I mean, I think I've always said that. I think, you know, Daniel could be sitting right here in 10, 15 years, the head coach at Furman. I really believe that. And so, you know, I think that you want to have a great staff around you. I think that we've spent a lot of time as a staff this offseason really getting closer and deeper and having a greater understanding. It's not always easy. You know, you're with each other 24/7 and you got a lot of different personalities, but I do think continuity is critical. And, you know, it's something that I struggled with a little bit earlier in my tenure of just finding, you know, it was more my fault as opposed to the people that were here, but just, you know, really getting an understanding of who I was as a leader and, you know, what I wanted around me. And so we've been able to do that. And, Dan, we're going to fight to keep them all. I mean, it's been fun to work with them, and we're going to continue to try to, you know, have the best staff in the league and in the country.
As we close it out, I'm just sitting here thinking that whether you're a head coach or whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, the temptation is the people you hire under you to all be what you would consider or call yes men, that they're going to do exactly what you tell them, and there's not going to be any free thought. I get the idea that you want people who obviously you're the boss, and there's no question about that, but people who you want to be able to, I don't know if checks and balances is the right phrase, but have different ideas and bring something to the table that will at least make you think, okay, maybe that is a better way to do something.
Yeah, yes, man, you don't want that. I mean, that's scary because you're not going to be able to protect yourself. You're not going to be able to see your blind spots. And, you know, I think for me, the easy checklist in this is, you know, just like a common, like, you know, test to just see, like, okay, how are we doing? Is if I'm having to micromanage and then having to oversee and then, you know, having to jump in and do somebody's job a little bit and, hey, look, how are we doing here? Then all of a sudden, like, that takes my ability away to do my job. Mm-hmm. But if I'm able to give, like, this is your area. You're the head coach of this, okay? You're the head coach of this. And now they're surprising me. It's like, man, wow, look what we did here. You know, I love it when I get texts from people and they're like, hey, what about this? This is, you know, whatever it is. You know, like one of our former players, Nick Sanders, I'm trying to think, he texted me a week or so ago and it was kind of like, oh, man, this is cool. Who did this? I said, I have no idea. And he texted me back and he said, that's how it should be. And he's right. You know, that's when you start doing things as a program to where you have people surprising you and they take that ownership and they're like, okay, I get to take this and I get to be the head coach of this and I'm going to do it with excellent work and nobody's going to have to check me. Nobody's going to have to circle back on me. Like, I'm going to take it. Well, now you have a big staff and you're looking all over the place and this thing's just elevating and it's not one person holding this up. It's mm-hmm. I'm able to do my job. They're able to do their jobs and we're all chasing excellence together, but we're doing with a oneness, I think, that's critical. And then with humility, we're all trying every day to figure out how we can get better at what we're doing. And so there's that confidence of, yes, we're able to do this, but there's that humility that says, hey, but we don't have everything figured out. We want to be able to innovate. We want to be able to improve. And then you just keep waking up every day and doing that. And, you know, I think we've got a pretty good spot there. I think our staff is really being able to work through a lot. I mean, I think we're carrying a good load right now. And I think we're being more efficient in it than we've ever been.
Good stuff. We covered a lot of ground in 40 minutes.
There you go. So trying to be more consistent with it, you know. Coach Fowler, he's been keeping us a little bit more on cue with this. So we'll continue to try to sprinkle them in as the season goes, keep everybody updated.
All right, Bob, thank you.
All right, thank you.
That is head coach Bob Ritchie. And with that, we wrap up another edition of the All Den Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and just will remind you again that anytime you have any questions for Coach Ritchie, you can send them to me, dan.scott@furman.edu, dan.scott@furman.edu, and we thank Shortfields and Downtown Travelers Rest for continuing to sponsor the All Den podcast. We will be back again inside the next couple of weeks, pushing toward the November 9th opener with North Greenville University. And boy, then it is on. And for those of us in the broadcast industry, we've got about 3 weeks or more of crossover broadcasting. It's going to be fun, but I tell you, I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you for your attention, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time on the All Den podcast. For Coach Bob Ritchie and all of us at Furman Basketball, I'm Dan Scott saying God bless you. So long, everybody, and thank you for being All Den.